Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. We're going to do a little bit of a mix today. We're going to be talking with an entrepreneur who has created a wonderful company with a great service. But we're also going to be talking about healthcare, because especially for entrepreneurs and small business owners, healthcare tends to be one of those things that we don't even think about until it's too late, because we're running our own businesses and, you know, we just don't have time to do that. So like I said, this is going to be a great discussion today. So please join me in welcoming Kim Shaw to our program today. Welcome, Kim. How are you doing today?
I'm very well. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great. Well, let me tell people a little bit about you and then we will dive into this. So Kim Shaw is the founder and CEO of Creda Health, an innovative AI-powered digital health assistant, an app to help those with chronic conditions live their lives better. Kim's mission is to help improve health outcomes globally. Prior to starting Creda Health, Kim was the global director of marketing for the informatics software business with Thermo Fisher Scientific, a $40 billion company whose mission is to enable their customers to make the world healthier, cleaner, and safer. During his career, Kim has held executive level positions at a number of high-tech companies, such as Lotus Development, Micrographics, and Inso Corporation. He is an experienced marketing executive skilled in product management, advertising, enterprise software, sales, entrepreneurship, and customer retention management. Kim has an MBA focused in business administration from that little school, MIT, Sloan School. So again, Kim, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, and again, how do you say your company name?
Oh, you've got it right. Creda Health.
Okay. My apologies for mispronouncing it. You know, I always love to ask my guests how they got to where they are today, because I think it's always a very interesting journey, especially for entrepreneurs. So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So first thing, Deb, is that the company originally was called Know Your Meds.
Okay.
When it started. And that was 5 years ago. So why did we start the company? Well, basically, as I finished my career with Thermo Fisher Scientific, or even while I was there, I had interactions all over the world with pharmaceutical companies. And I could see how much effort they would put into informing their customers about medications, you know, about side effects and what to avoid or so on. The problem is that piece of paper that comes with the medication,
we don't read it.
Exactly. Nobody reads it. And and even those who can read it don't understand most of it, because it's not written you know, at the fifth or sixth grade level, which it should be, you know, for most of us to understand. So as a result, what happens is, you're right, people just throw that piece of paper away. And within a few days of starting their medication routine, they kind of fall off the wagon, right? So if they should be taking something before eating, they might forget and take it after eating, or you know, and so on and so forth. And whatever the instructions were, within a couple of weeks, most people are not following those instructions. So that was one challenge. The second challenge was people would get side effects and then self-medicate to treat the side effects, right? And so rather than getting back to their doctor saying, is this what I'm now experiencing related to the medication that you prescribed for me or not? So that was another challenge. So and then there's a third challenge, which is what we call interactions between drugs. So there's a very large number of people who are taking five or more drugs daily, especially those living with chronic conditions that I'm going to come back to. And now the problem is, it's almost by definition a fact that once you're taking five or six meds, they're interacting with each other as well.
Right. They just, it's, you know, makes sense that it would.
Exactly. And so now, so this is another challenge. So, and you know, and these drugs come from different drug companies. So it's not as if all five or six drugs come from the same company and therefore they might be able to actually help you and tell you this. They don't. So you get something from Merck and something from Pfizer and something from Johnson & Johnson. And they've never done any testing necessarily for interactions, right? Because they, when they go through clinical trials, they're really testing their own drug and the efficacy of their drug for a particular disease. And that's the end of it. So these are all kind of things that are bubbling around in my brain when I finished with Thermo Fisher. And that's when we said, we're going to start a company and it's going to be global and it's going to be a free application for people to download anywhere. And we got a few hundred thousand drug names from all over the world, US, Canada, Mexico, Europe, India. And we broke it down to the ingredient, so that the active ingredient level of each drug. Because at the end of the day, it's not the brand name that causes all the problems, right? The active ingredient inside the drug. And so that's why that name was very appropriate, Know Your Meds, because it was all about meds. And that was fine, but what we found out quickly, and then the pandemic kind of came along and suddenly exposed a more dramatic issue in healthcare, and that is access to your providers right, in a timely fashion.
Right.
So that's when we said, and you know, all of a sudden we all saw the explosion of Zoom calls and video calls with the doctor, and again that was high, and it's now tapering off. You know, it's not that big of a deal. But it did expose the fact that if and when a patient has a question or a concern about their health, it's not simple.
We don't even know who to ask.
So nobody, for whatever reason, nobody calls the pharmacist with these questions. I'm not sure why, but we don't. It's just not in our psyche. If we call our primary care person for an appointment, if we're lucky, we might get one in 2 or 3 days' time. You're not going to. Typically not going to get one soon. And just getting a question answered, also oftentimes you have to wait for someone to call you back because they're very busy, right? And so people go to the internet, right? And then they go to Google.
Good old Dr. Google.
Exactly. And, you know, and Dr. Google, almost everything, without meaning to be disrespectful to Dr. Google, it's a very good service, but it's often alarmist. Because it's like almost everything that you've got, eventually, you know, death and taxes are the most predictable things for all of us, right? So, and so this is where we said, wait a minute, what we really need to do is beyond even just knowledge about medications. It's a bunch of other things that we as chronic condition patients have to really do. And depending upon what stage of the disease journey we're at, so either we've just been diagnosed or we might have had it for years and years or whatever. But the fact is, when we talk to our doctors, they tell us there's some medication stuff that you have to do about your disease. There's some stress reduction, maybe it might be an issue. Diet and nutrition is an issue. Fitness is an issue. Monitoring your health to the extent that you can. Right. So again, in the pandemic, I don't know about you, but I went out and bought that little oxygen meter thingy-majig within like 2 days, and every morning, you know, it had on my finger and checking my oxygen level, right? Et cetera. So when we are told to, and we have the means, people will want to do that, mm-hmm. you know, monitor your blood sugar if you're mm-hmm. diabetic or weight right. or whatever. And interestingly, a lot of devices are now coming to the market that are getting us to be even more able to monitor these mm-hmm. things. So this,
right.
your watch mm-hmm. monitors how much you walk and your resting heart mm-hmm. rate, for example, and so on. So all of this technology is sort of coming together nicely. Mm-hmm. And companies like mine are now trying to package all this mm-hmm. so that as an individual, you no longer have an excuse of being ignorant about right. your disease. Mm-hmm. That's like you said earlier, you have to go to an encyclopedia to get this information. Mm-hmm. Today, it's on your fingertips mm-hmm. or a fair amount of it is. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So now the real issue is for us as individuals, we need to somehow have a bridge between mm-hmm. us and our provider,
right?
That where we get what we would like to call mm-hmm. a continuum of care, mm-hmm. right? Now, the U.S. healthcare system, that there's no incentive to the doctor,
right? Yeah, they're not paid to send you an email,
exactly. Right? I mean, I mean,
no knock against them. No. That's just something that's not going to happen.
Exactly. In fact, I tell this story to my own teammates. I had my first colonoscopy when I turned 50. Mm-hmm. Now, that was good. The doctors were all over me. Mm-hmm. Like, you've turned 50, you got to get it done. Mm-hmm. Great. And then it came out clean. So they said 10 years mm-hmm. now for your second one. Mm-hmm. Well, my GI doctor is a close friend of mine. And he's a golf buddy. So mm-hmm. I see him like every mm-hmm. week or so. Mm-hmm. But the 10-year window came and went.
Mm-hmm. Right, because nobody nagged you.
Nobody reminded me. Mm-hmm. 7 years later, so, mm-hmm. so on the 17th anniversary mm-hmm. is when I suddenly said one day, gosh, I better do that?
Mm-hmm.
So I went and got it done. And now mm-hmm. my friend is angry with me. He says, why did you wait 7 years? You have a polyp, mm-hmm. right? Which mercifully was benign, but he says it may not have been. Mm-hmm. Right. So I turned around to him and said, excuse me, I don't know why you're mad at me. I should be mad at you.
Yeah,
why
you didn't remind me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you think of me as a customer. Mm-hmm. And yet, where is your customer relationship management mm-hmm. software, right? Mm-hmm. Why didn't your software come up with a little flag mm-hmm. on the 10th anniversary for Kim mm-hmm. Shah to say, call him, send him a reminder, mm-hmm. see if he's still around. He may mm-hmm. have moved, but if he's around, right. send him a reminder and say, hey, Kim, you know, mm-hmm. get that done. Mm-hmm. No, they don't do that. Mm-hmm. My wife had this RSV, as I told you earlier, Deb, mm-hmm. and in the morning, her PCP did a Zoom call, said, you look terrible. You should go to the hospital and get it, mm-hmm. get a chest X-ray done. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then she said, I will call you at night to follow up.
Ah.
Right? She didn't. Right? Now, I don't blame her. They're very busy.
She just got busy. Mm-hmm.
She got busy, exactly. And frankly, nothing pops up on her system that says, mm-hmm. hey, remember you right. used to mm-hmm. call Asha back and no. Mm-hmm. And more important even, she doesn't get paid for that second call.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Because she's calling of her own volition and there's no code that she can mm-hmm. apply that says, mm-hmm. I made a call and therefore it's mm-hmm. some insurance company will pay me $50 or $20 or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever the amount is. So this really is the reason for us to create. And we changed the name to now more accurately reflect that we're a bridge in many ways. So mm-hmm. we are definitely a tool to help remind people mm-hmm. of the early stuff, mm-hmm. through warnings, information, pamphlets.
Right.
People like you, mm-hmm. Have suffered, etc. So we do mm-hmm. all of that.
Right.
But on top of that, we also have on our own staff. Dietitian, nutritionist.
Oh, I saw you have a wonderful group of staff members. People.
So for those things that you are able to manage for yourself mm-hmm. to have a healthier outcome, we are now providing all of that. Mm-hmm. Right. And then we have, we can have weekly status calls where, with mm-hmm. your permission, we will call you once a week mm-hmm. and just say, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. Right? That symptom that you talked about a mm-hmm. month ago, is it still there? Mm-hmm. Did it get worse, better? Mm-hmm. Are you taking any other over-the-counter mm-hmm. medications? Has your diet changed? Mm-hmm. Have you been somewhere, on travel? Who knows? Any number of factors mm-hmm. that could impact. And it's just nice to have somebody call you to just remind you, because we forget, right?
Mm-hmm. And, right. Because we're busy too. And especially if we're feeling better. We're like, yeah, whatever.
Exactly. But the really, really sad thing in the case of chronic conditions, oftentimes, is you really only have three outcomes to look forward to if you think about it, right? Mm-hmm. One is that you get marginally better with your disease, because you know, by definition, you don't get cured.
Right. Chronic is long term.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. The middle one is that you can somehow stay stable, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever level of pain, anxiety, or symptoms you're living with, you live with them. The third one, unfortunately, the most common one, is that you get worse, right? Because you're not doing everything that you could be doing. Mm-hmm. And some of it is pure lack of not knowing, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the time when being in a group setting, a monthly call with a doctor who answers questions, and sometimes somebody else might ask a question that you're like, wait a minute.
That happened to me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to ask that question really, but I didn't think about it, but that's a good question. That answer applies to me. And so I think human beings react much better in a sort of a comprehensive relationship setting. Mm-hmm. And so interestingly, from my point of view, and I'm not a medical professional, I'm a technologist. Mm-hmm. I view this entirely as a database-driven customer relationship management problem. Mm-hmm. Right? The doctors need to see us as customers, right?
Right.
And in any other business, they'll say to you, an existing customer is your best customer.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It costs more to get new customers than to work with the ones you have.
Exactly. Right. So in that colonoscopy example I gave you earlier, every year that I didn't do it, that GI clinic was losing $3,000 or $4,000 of revenue, right? From the fact that I didn't go. And it's, you know, it's like an empty seat or an empty hotel room problem. Mm-hmm. Once you miss that revenue, you miss it. A long way of saying to you that's how we got to where we are now, where we feel ready and able to offer this service. Mm-hmm. We can't do it for every disease because it takes a lot of resources, but certainly autoimmune like lupus and Crohn's and colitis and MS and those kind of diseases where there's a lot of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Why did that flare suddenly happen? What did I do? Did I eat something? Did I sit in the sun? Did I, you know, did I try a new perfume? Who knows? It could be completely random, something that suddenly will get a flare up for you. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you kind of look backwards and say, well, in the last two or three weeks, did I do anything different? Right? Mm-hmm. And so what we want to do is encourage the patients to kind of keep a diary, a digital log of their medication regimen, their diet, and any symptom changes that might be happening, any vital signs that they're keeping track of that might be changing. And as soon as possible, to get this information to their doctor, because oftentimes the doctor doesn't really know. You know, that last medication they prescribed to you, they don't really know if that dosage was right or even, in fact, the medication itself was right, because sometimes they have a choice of medication for the same disease. And for some people, one might work better than another. And I have a bunch of doctors on my advisory panel. Mm-hmm. You probably saw that on the website. Well, all of them have one big complaint, which is the moment my patient leaves my office, it's a black hole.
Right.
The interaction. Mm-hmm. I have no idea if they follow any of my advice. If they do, in fact, Deb, 15% of Americans don't even fill the prescription that they have just been given.
Mm-hmm.
Right, either because they're walking out of the doctor's office, they feel a little bit better, right, or they can't afford the medication in some cases, or there's, you know, who knows, any number of reasons. So they don't even fill that prescription, which is staggering.
Right.
In an informed society like ours, that we have such a problem, it's a tragedy.
Right.
All right. I'll stop for a second.
Yeah. You know, I love this because, like I said, you know, it's talking with you is the combination of talking with an entrepreneur who started this business, and then of course, you know, dealing with health issues. So when you decided to start it, was it self-funded? Did you get venture capital? How did you go about this? Because this would, you know, especially when I look at, you know, it's a very professional website. I didn't download the app, but you know, I'm sure it is as professional as, you know, as the other, you, as you mentioned, you have numerous medical advisors, great staff. So this was not a, gee, let's spend $20 type of thing. So right. How did you, when you first launched, what was, you know, how did you go about this?
So when I first launched, I had a partner who still is with the company. He's the executive chairman of the company. He and I basically self-funded the company at the beginning. And then over the next few years, we got, it's still privately seed funded. Mm-hmm. Only so far, but just a few individuals that we knew that were as passionate about sort of, you know, healthcare and technology or the intersection of the two, and they've helped fund it so far. So we're just about now to go raise the first round of venture capital, sort of a Series A round. I'd say probably in Q1 of next year. But up till now, we've been doing it ourselves and. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we've been able to do it because about half the team is here and the other half is in India where it's much lower cost.
Right.
Especially the technology development stuff is all done over there. And the cost is, you know, almost a third to a quarter per engineer that we would have to pay here. So that's how we did it.
Right. Yeah. You bring new meaning to the virtual workplace. You know, you truly are in multiple places.
Exactly. So my day is weird and wonderful because India is usually about 10 hours ahead of us. And so that means I start talking to them around 6:37 every morning. Right. And then towards the end of the day, I'm talking to California. So it's a nice long day. It's been fun. It's a great experience.
I bet. You know, and as you mentioned, you don't do everything. I mean, you can't. And so I'm looking on your website and the chronic care ones that you deal with, as you said, are the autoimmune ones, diabetes, hypertension, you know, some things like that. And of course, the nice thing is that means that you don't have to have this huge staff.
Right.
And for someone who has some type of chronic issue, that's part of the issue is we never have just one doctor. You know? And you know, they all mean well, but they never talk to each other. You know, and it's funny because, you know, for those who have listened to the program for a while, they know that I have cancer that I've been dealing with for over 5 years. It's been just kind of one of those roller coaster type of things. And at various points in time, I've had 5 to 10 doctors that I've been dealing with.
Right.
And I actually switched primary care doctors, you know, and I tell people one of the first things you have to do is you have to trust your doctor. I don't care if they're virtual or you go in.
Right.
All of those things. And when I was talking with my new doctor, I told her, I said, here's the problem. Nobody's coordinating this. Now, my oncologist is pretty much who's in charge, right? But, you know, and so I've been so impressed with my primary care doc because I don't go in annually. I'll go in every 6 months because she wants to keep better tabs on me. And she's always said, you know, anytime I need something. But she has always looked at my chart before we ever even get in there. So she knows, okay, I just had this test, this test, this test. This is, you know, all of those various things. And that is the nice thing about technology is doctors, if they choose, can look at all of the other results. Now, I tell people, but, you know, unfortunately for me, it's kind of like reading War and Peace. You know, I don't know how, you know, my medical chart is very, very long and detailed now. But it's you do need that kind of pilot who's in charge of everything. Right. And whether it's your primary care or whoever, you know, that's and so that's what I like about your app is it's bringing all of that into one place.
Right. Exactly. And but the only caveat, though, Deb, without meaning to, you know, be careful. I don't over promise.
Right. And disclaimers. Yes. We're not giving medical advice, all that good stuff.
Right. No, but my point is we don't have all the medical information of a patient in there. Right. It's not that.
Have what we give you.
Exactly. So it's more of that. And it's more. It's more kind of you. It's like you having access to your own financial information, your own, you know, other. It's really what you do with information and sharing it with the doctor, that becomes the important factor. So yes, exactly.
I mean, it was, to carry that analogy further, it'd be like hiring a financial planner and not telling him about five of your bank accounts.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Exactly right. Yes, precisely. Great analogy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's where we are. And I think the other thing is perhaps not only that the doctor's not talking to each other, which is mm-hmm. one issue, but the doctor for this part of your body might mm-hmm. prescribe this medication, mm-hmm. and then you go see a doctor for another part of your body, mm-hmm. and you'll get some other medication. Mm-hmm. And these two medications, the doctors may not, they don't, mm-hmm. don't even know about the other one, mm-hmm. perhaps, in some cases. Mm-hmm. And they're assuming that your pharmacist is mm-hmm. going to keep track of all the
medications. But now we use virtual pharmacies. And
So that's another. Yeah. So mm-hmm. the whole, so more and more, what this is saying is you have to become your own advocate,
mm-hmm.
your own mm-hmm. advocate. Right. And it's now incumbent upon you, or it's your responsibility mm-hmm. to tell your doctor everything about you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And to kind of get them to understand. Now the challenge is you go see your primary care person, there's a 15-minute window you're given.
Right. Uh-huh.
Of which 10 minutes they stare at a laptop or, mm-hmm. or something. And for a few minutes they talk to you. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's serious, obviously.
And they ask the patient, how are you doing? And the patient says, fine.
Yes. Exactly. That's it, right? So, I do this now. I actually almost toy with my primary care when I go see them.
I know, I do too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, you know, so I'm here for this, but you know, wouldn't you like to know about this and the other, and how my COVID has gone, or this, mm-hmm. and you know, so I purposely push them to say, ask me these questions, mm-hmm. please, so that I can answer them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So yeah, but I do understand it's mm-hmm. it's a tough. And then the other challenge is the insurance, right? Mm-hmm. In our healthcare system is so complicated
mm-hmm.
that if the doctor veers from whatever you first went in to talk about, all of a sudden that insurance mm-hmm. thing changes,
mm-hmm.
right? And so it's just so much stuff goes on that you mm-hmm. and I as patients in this system don't mm-hmm. know anything about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we just pay our little copay amount if we're lucky to have insurance, and mm-hmm. we leave. Mm-hmm. And then we never know what goes on behind the scenes. Right.
Or you get the statement and you're like, this makes no sense at all.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's a whole other problem that mm-hmm. I don't know when we'll ever touch.
Mm-hmm.
But it is important because many industries have been disrupted or even, you know, elevated through the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because like travel and finance. Mm-hmm. Healthcare still is not there yet.
Right.
Right. It hasn't really been mm-hmm. disrupted by mm-hmm. the digital world. So
right.
there are mm-hmm. a lot of people trying different things, you know, some very esoteric and exotic mm-hmm. stuff, like, you know, using AI to read a mammogram, for example,
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff. And that's fascinating because
mm-hmm. That's actually how my cancer was diagnosed. The computer right. caught it.
Yeah, you see, that's so that's very nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of stuff, I think, has happened. It's mm-hmm. this process-ridden,
mm-hmm.
paperwork, bureaucratic mm-hmm. stuff that needs to be
right. you
know, disrupted. And
right.
But mm-hmm. no one's really found a way to do it yet.
Right.
So that's one.
And then there's the patient's attitude towards doctors. You know, we put them on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And we expect that they're going to read our minds. Right. You know, I remember one time years ago, my father, who has since passed away, but he went to the doctor in our very small town, you know, and so this was, you know, one of those things where he called the doctor by his first name because he'd known him mm-hmm. since he was in elementary school, right. you know, those type of things.
Right.
And he was going in for two things. One was sore throat and mm-hmm. the other was something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, ship him off. He comes back. And I said, so what did Mike say? Because, you know, I'd known Mike since we were in elementary school together. And he said, oh, he gave me such and such for my sore throat. And I said, well, what about the other?
Yeah.
And he said, well, we didn't talk about it. He didn't ask about it.
Right.
And I said, what do you mean he didn't ask about it?
Exactly.
Oh, he didn't ask. And I said, so why didn't you tell him?
Right.
And Dad's response was, he should have known. And so I pick up the phone, I call Mike, and I say, he's coming back.
Yes, exactly.
But, you know, we do that. We just expect that they're going to know what's going on,
yeah.
You know, and or we've done the research. So, you know, like you said, we've gone to Dr. Google.
Right.
So we're not telling them everything because Dr. Google said this and this and this. So they don't need to know that over there. Exactly. And, you know, and then you do add in virtual appointments, which in some ways are great.
Yes.
But in other ways, you know, I remember, you know, one of my doctors during, you know, during COVID had an appointment with her and she just needed to know if I was retaining water.
Right.
So were my ankles swelling?
Yeah.
So, you know, I dutifully hold the camera down and, you know, try and show her my ankle. But then I'm thinking, she's never seen me in person. How does she know what my ankles look like normally?
Right, exactly.
You know, and so it's a definite challenge for everybody, both the patients and the medical care providers.
And there's also denialism and fatigue.
Right.
That's it. You know, even with a disease, you can be, you know, just.
Well, and especially with a chronic disease.
Right. Exactly.
Because we get so used to, I'm just going to live with it that I'm not going to tell them this is happening.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Or I don't think it's important for them to know somehow, right? Mm-hmm. That it's not connected, as you said. So that's why with this program of ours, what we're now, and the name change is really partly to kind of package what we're now doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we say to an incoming patient is, give us 90 days, right? And we have a 5-step program for those 90 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
But firstly, step one is we do a quick assessment of where you are in your journey. Have you just been diagnosed? Mm-hmm. Are you experiencing anything right now, etc.? That then leads to a one-on-one consult by one of our specialists.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So based on that first little assessment, we'll say, are you more in need of sort of diet and nutrition kind of advice or more in need of this stress reduction or fitness, etc. And whatever whatever we think is the primary person, we'll let that specialist meet with you one-on-one through a Zoom call or a phone call. And after that, we would essentially create a personalized plan for you.
Okay.
Right. Now, this is not a medical plan, right? That's your doctor's job. But this is a life plan, right? Mm-hmm. This is, you know, try and lose some weight and try and avoid this kind of foods or try and avoid going in the sun or, you know, and do this kind of exercise versus that, et cetera. And so that's like the next step of the process. Then we have this, as I mentioned earlier, a weekly check-in where we will send you either just a questionnaire in the app, which will just come up and say, okay, tell me about this. Or if you're the kind of person that wants to talk on the phone, well, then we'll have a phone conversation. Then that's fine too. It'll be very quick. We don't want to disrupt too much of your time. And then the fifth step is a monthly. So one of our doctors will do an open mic kind of a call on Zoom for, you know, for an hour or so where any of our subscribers that want to join into that call.
Right. Yeah. And like you said, people share stories.
Exactly. Right. And so that's kind of that's the 5-step program over 90 days. And what we're basically saying is at the end of that 90 days, you should be much more informed about everything. Now, you're not going to be cured. That's never the promise anyway, but at least hopefully you live a little bit better and have a slightly better chance of an outcome, you know, healthier outcome than others. And then, so you can then keep the digital program. So it's not a lot of money. We're talking about roughly $25 or so, $30 for that 90-day program.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then after that, if you want to continue subscribing, then it's either 99 cents a month or $8.99 a month, literally two price points for this, because after that, it's mostly going to be a digital relationship. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because you don't need to be talking to a dietitian every month. And so, but you could always still send in a digital question through the app. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I had, you know, too much pizza the other night and, you know, something happened.
And now my stomach's not happy with me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's the program, basically. It's as you said earlier, it's a digital app available from both the Apple Store and the Google Store. And along with it, we have all these specialists. So that's kind of the B2C business. there is a B2B2C element of this too, which if you don't mind, I'd like to tell you.
Yes, most definitely.
This is an evolutionary step. So because one of our diseases that we're doing is sort of the gut diseases, especially Crohn's and colitis, we uniquely in America for that disease, there are private clinics. So you don't have to go to a hospital necessarily for a colonoscopy or an endoscopy or one of these procedures. You go to these private clinics, right? And the private clinics, so I met a couple of private clinics in Orlando about 3 or 4 months ago. And they told me, they said, Kim, our biggest problem is what we call a no-show. And I said, well, tell me more. What do you mean? Why would you have a no-show if somebody is going to have a procedure done, they show up? Well, so apparently this is an interesting situation. When it comes to these two procedures, you have to have a clean colon. So you have to drink that awful.
You have to do that nasty preparation.
Starting the day before the procedure. And then you basically can't eat anything. You can drink some water. But there's some very strict rules about what you can and cannot do. Well, apparently, some clinics experience as much as a 30% no-show.
Wow. Because people screwed up in the prep and so they just don't show.
Exactly right. So any number, the most obvious ones are that they eat something.
Right. They forgot and they had breakfast.
Or even drink something that they think might be a clear liquid, but it really isn't a clear liquid.
Yes. Your coffee with cream is not a clear liquid.
So that's one kind of problem. The second kind of problem is that if you're on any kind of medication already, then there are some medications which you have to stop taking.
Right.
Before the procedure. And then there are some which you shouldn't stop taking. So like if you're on a blood pressure
You don't stop taking your blood pressure medicine.
Yeah, because otherwise you go to the clinic, they do your blood pressure.
Yeah, and you can't be tested because your blood pressure is too high.
And so they have, they said to me, you know, Kim, all we can do is 5 days before the appointment, we place a phone call, right, to the patient and say, hey, Mr. Shah, your appointment's coming up. Are you all set? You know, did you get the prescribed medicine that you did, the stuff you have to drink, etc.? You all set? And they said most of the time, no, they don't answer the phone anyway.
Right. Well, they don't recognize the number, so we're screening our calls.
So all that happens then is that we'll leave a voicemail, right? And that's it. And then the day of the procedure comes, and they don't show up, or they've done something wrong. There might be sometimes very legitimate reasons, like they suddenly got COVID or something happened.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's
okay. But a lot of it is just sheer sort of negligence on the part of the patient.
Right. I forgot that I was supposed to do that.
Yeah. And each of these missed no-shows is a $3,000 to $4,000 hit to the clinic, which is a lot of money. So what they said to me is, if you with the promise of what you're talking about, you can be our continuous bridge.
You can nag
to our patients. So what we've done is we've literally created a 10-day messaging program.
Oh, nice.
At like T-minus 10, we start the process.
Right, because some of the meds you have to stop that far out.
Right. And then T-minus 5 and T-minus 3 and then the day before and then the day off. And then 2 days after the procedure.
Right. How are you doing?
Exactly. Right. Because the last thing we want is for the patient to have bleeding or something happen that might require them to go back into an ER or something. Right. Then no one's happy about that kind of an out. So anyway, so but in this case, now the patient is not going to pay anything for this service. It's the clinic.
Right. Because even if they're paying, well, like you said, they lose $3,000 to $4,000.
Right. Exactly.
They pay whatever amount to you, they're still ahead.
Exactly. Right. So and there's like 2,000 of these clinics. Right. And so there's and some of these clinics literally are have 30 to 40 procedures a day that they that they schedule.
And so I'm guessing what they do is they double and triple book.
Yeah.
Assuming they're going to have drop off. And then if everybody shows, they've got a problem.
Yeah. Because now the last thing you want to do is to go through all this lousy prep and go to.
Right. And then they say.
They can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Or you have to sit here for another 2 hours or whatever.
Right. So that doesn't work. So yeah. So it basically, so they don't do overbooking actually, but they just live with this problem. And so now we're going to help them. We're going to send
out. Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm.
So that's one kind of thing we can do. The second, and also quite interesting, and this is also where some of the AI is starting to come in now, and that is we can actually do a little bit of predictive analysis on a patient based on their symptoms.
Right.
And some vital signs. So if we can get a patient to diligently answer even once a week or once a month, even it doesn't have to be that frequent, just to tell us how are you doing,
Right? Are you getting exercise? Are you sleeping well?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or you know, or is there any change in how many times you go to the bathroom? Or you know, are you seeing blood in your stool? What some indication? And what we want to do then is as quickly as possible say to the patient, make an appointment, go see your GI doctor now,
right?
Because you're without saying it, we're saying you're probably days or weeks away from going to the ER.
Right. And obviously, the sooner you catch anything, the better it is.
Exactly. Right. So we don't want to be alarmist. We don't want to create business where it shouldn't be. By the same token, you can, once you have enough people in a you know, database, you can start to do some predictive stuff.
Right.
You can say this. You can see where this patient is heading. Right. And it'd be worth it. Even if nothing else, they just call their doctor and say, I just want to give you a heads up, right? And let the doctor decide whether you should do it or not. That's okay. That's between you and your doctor. Our job is to just tell you, right, as a continuing desire to keep you informed, to do the right thing. So, so that last thing, I think the insurance companies are going to love us.
Right. Because it's less expensive if you catch it sooner.
Exactly. And I mean, the ER visit is the most expensive transaction in our system.
Right. And so even if you're going to urgent care as opposed to an ER, it is much less expensive.
Exactly right. Yeah. So that's our goal. So that way we can also actually make a positive impact on the cost of the healthcare system as well. So
I love that.
Another layer.
And I love that you bring it all together, you know, with your nutritionist, with, you know, all of these things, because especially if you have a chronic condition, it is all of those things tied together. But we don't stop to think, okay, when I go in and talk to my oncologist, do I remember to tell her about all the supplements I'm taking?
No, you don't.
No, and because and part of that is I think it's not a prescription. You know, some of those things can cause harm.
Yes.
If it's not, you know, and but yeah, it's also, you know, as we were saying, sometimes nutrition, mental health, things like that, they're as important, if not sometimes more important, to the whole cycle of everything.
Indeed, exactly. So yeah, so that's that's the story. That's where we are,
and it's, I love it.
Exciting time.
You know, and I love just how much tech is changing with everything and being able to do things, you know, because, you know, I have a friend who is a tech geek and he had the latest and greatest Apple Watch.
Right.
Now, he knew he had some issues. That was part of why he had the Apple Watch. But his Apple Watch said, hey, dude, you're an AFib.
Yes.
And he, you know, and if he hadn't caught it right away, you know, he said he spent, you know, part of the day in the doctor's office, as opposed to waiting a couple of days and maybe not even surviving. You know, and so, yeah, I mean, just things like that. Obviously, that's kind of an extreme thing. But even if you're just looking, say, you know, with your app, at, you know, when somebody says, hey, I've had this problem this over and over again. Okay, what is the cause of that?
Yeah. Exactly. So by the way, so our app is integrated with the iWatch. And so anything your iWatch tracks then goes to your phone.
I love that.
Apple Health, the little heart health app that Apple connects in data. And then we integrate with Apple Health. So you know, that way we get some information about you basically automatically.
Right.
And that's important because we don't really think that you will go in put in all this data every day.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, and even just things like how many steps are you making a day? Right. You know, we're not going 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, and I'm always astounded when I look at my watch and go, I walked how far?
Yeah.
And it's either way lower, way, way more than what I'm thinking. I mean, you know, it's never, you know, and so that always astounds me too. Or that one of the things that I look at a lot is sleep, mm-hmm. you know, and not just, you know, am I sleeping for right. 8 hours?
Right.
What type of sleep am I getting? Because that, of course, can make a huge difference.
Very much so. I agree. Totally. Yeah.
I love this. I love this. Well, you know, as you mentioned, this is something that is kind of growing in, you know, in things. So, you know, without giving things away, can you talk about other directions that you might be taking things into?
I would say no, right now, honestly, Deb, it maybe some other diseases mm-hmm. would be the ones to look at, mm-hmm. but we have our hands full. I think we still, especially this predictive, the AI mm-hmm. engine, mm-hmm. because it gets better. The engine gets better, the more people, the more mm-hmm. data I feed in mm-hmm. to this, into the system, right? So that's really the, mm-hmm. the business challenge I have mm-hmm. now, or the opportunity, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's another way of putting it, is to try and get a few hundred thousand people mm-hmm. into the system and, mm-hmm. and then being able to say now, hey, you're a 50-year-old, you know, such and such person, mm-hmm. male, female, Asian, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I have a few thousand other people sort mm-hmm. of like you. And so I can use mm-hmm. that data to draw right. some kind of a curve mm-hmm. right, and be able to say to you, okay, you know, you are here mm-hmm. and you're headed there, mm-hmm. right? And our job together would be to mm-hmm. not have you head there, mm-hmm. basically, right?
Right.
Right. So that I think we have mm-hmm. a lot of work. So that's from a technology point of view. Mm-hmm. From a business point of view, frankly, it's to get to these 2,000 clinics mm-hmm. first, right? The GI clinics mm-hmm. As a starting point. And then there are other clinics. There are mm-hmm. eye clinics, for example. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there'll be other things mm-hmm. like that we can go and work with. Because mm-hmm. the beauty of this, the approach is, it's essentially a generic approach. Mm-hmm. For at least for some diseases, it's not mm-hmm. necessarily the right thing for every disease, mm-hmm. but certainly for a lot of diseases where, like you said earlier, if it's something you're going to be living with mm-hmm. forever anyway, then by definition, there's right. only a few things you can do. Mm-hmm. And an app that works with you to mm-hmm. remind you, to warn you, to inform you, to show you videos of exercise or mm-hmm. to let you download a new diet, et cetera. That is sort of almost disease agnostic, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. so it's more a matter of us having the specialists that are disease specific mm-hmm. to help you
right.
To do that. So I think that's probably mm-hmm. where we go next.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and as you mentioned, the more data you have, yes. the better it will be. So obviously the more users,
right.
you know, but yeah, it's so interesting because the way AI works, that just fascinates me, you know, and, you know, long gone are the days where it was just, you know, kind of the basic, how are you type of, you know, and, right. you know, and I love it when I'm, you know, on a website and I go to their chat feature and right. I know it's, you know, an AI.
Yeah.
So if I'm absolutely certain it's an AI, right. then I ask a question very differently.
Uh-huh.
If I know I've got a real person,
right.
then I'm going to, you know, and so that's always kind of interesting because if it's yeah. AI, I mean, you know, it is pretty limited. I mean, it is only going to give me information based on the data that it has.
Exactly.
You know,
in healthcare, we have to be even more careful than right. other ones because, mm-hmm. you know, then there's so much nuance mm-hmm. In the answer, right? Mm-hmm. You almost never can say something with exact 100% certainty.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, and like you said, it changes. You know, right. I felt bleh on Saturday, just bleh. Right. I mean, you know, bleh is not exactly a symptom.
Yes.
You know, but when you have a lot of people saying, you know, I'm feeling stuffy.
Right.
Then that's a very different type of thing.
Yes.
You know, and of course with medical, as you mentioned too, it needs to be in the language that somebody that is not a doctor understands.
Right. Exactly.
You know, if I tell you I'm stuffy, That's a very different thing than when the ear, nose, and throat doctor is going to talk to you about it, right? To really get, the otolaryngologist. I'm like, how does that come out to ear, nose, throat? Right. But yeah, so, we we're not saying dumb it down, because that's not dumbing it down. It's just we talk about it differently. I might tell the doctor I feel bleh.
Yeah.
And they're gonna say, okay, I need to know this, and this.
Right.
And get more specific, and AI can do that. Do you have a temperature? Do you have pain? Yes. Where is your pain? Things like that. And then the good AI, then it gets to a person in many cases. It's narrowed it down, and it's like, okay, you need to talk to the nutritionist.
Yes, exactly. That's right. Exactly right. Yeah. So so there'll be a lot of that kind of learning and going on, and just gets better and better.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah, because like we said, the database is going to figure out what bleh means.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, especially for a person with this condition in the first place. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. So what more can I tell you?
Well, we've got 10 minutes left, so we still have lots of time that we have to talk about this. From a marketing standpoint, it's very, like we were saying, you need more people. Right. So how how are you reaching your target market? And
great question. So really, primarily social media.
Okay.
Because the one thing, especially in this field of health, what we find is people are much more likely to listen to a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the best.
Mm-hmm.
But second to that would be somebody that they trust.
Right. That's a random Facebook friend.
Yeah. So like you mentioned lupus earlier, there are a whole series of people who have lupus, who call themselves lupus warriors, example. And many of them have followings of 30, 40, 50,000 people, right, in their Instagram or TikTok accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And they are anxious to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
So when one of them finds out about something that they like, they very quickly will tell. So.
Right.
So our job then becomes to find those influencers and make sure they understand what we're doing and so on. So that's one aspect.
Mm-hmm.
The other is, especially in the gut health world, we have a wonderful friend that we made, a lady by the name of Dr. Vanessa Mendez in Florida.
Mm.
And she is actually a very influential social media person in her own right.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is she a doctor, which is great, but she then has different groups. So she has one group of just doctors that she kind of moderates and talks to all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Then she has another group of patients, and she talks to them and so on. So she can talk differently to these different groups. And each time she talks, the story spreads further. Right? And these are fortunately not very expensive. Ways of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the other way, of course, is to raise a bunch of money with venture capital and do football.
You can be one of the multiple television ads.
Precisely. That's not. I don't want to waste money doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So this may be a little slower process of getting it done, but it feels more real.
Right.
And so it'll take a little time, but I think.
Right.
And in the case of the B2B2C that we talked about earlier, the clinic is going to tell the patients to download the app.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when you go in for an appointment, before you leave, one of the last things that the nurse assistant or physician assistant will tell you is, hey, while you're here, let's take your phone and download this app. And then from that point on, let the app folks talk to you and they'll guide you as to what to do.
Right.
So that's another way of getting it done.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it does help that you know exactly who your target market is.
Yes.
I mentioned in your bio that you're a marketing expert. How many times when we've talked with potential clients and we say, and who is your target market? And they smile at you and they say, everybody. And you're like, no.
Not a good answer. That's right. You don't have enough money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you are looking for patients with very specific illnesses.
Right.
And maybe those associated with them, a caregiver, family member, something like that. But yeah, for the most part, you're not talking to you're which it, the nice thing is then, as you said, that allows you to be very specific. You know, you go to a social media influencer who that is what they deal with. You know, you're not going to say a Kim Kardashian and saying, hey, talk about this. You know, and so you are, you're able to work with the people who are really going to be most beneficial to you and to them. Because, they want to refer something that is beneficial. You know, they certainly don't want people coming back and saying, oh my gosh, you don't want to use this. Oops, sorry. Right. And so it is definitely that mutually beneficial.
Very much so. And, the only sad thing actually did happen a few years ago was that Facebook and Apple, to some degree, limited our ability to target people through advertising, but through Facebook advertising. Because before the debacle, that election, when Britain, Facebook was found to have been selling data and all that. Well, before that, you literally could target your messaging, even in a Facebook ad, to a lupus patient, for example.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they mention it in posts that they had done, things like
exactly.
that.
Mm-hmm. And you, or even more specific, like a 30-year-old female lupus patient, that kind of
thing. Right.
Now you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Now they won't let you do that, which in some ways, as a user, I'm happy.
Yeah, it's nice, but...
Exactly. Mm-hmm. As a business person, I'm like, oh, that's too bad. That would have been nice if we could have done that. Mm-hmm. But it's okay. I mean, that's the way it is. And Apple, to some degree, has a similar kind of limitation where if you go to the App Store and you put in the search, I'm looking for a lupus management app, then yes, you show your app to the person. But that's the way it works.
Right. And obviously it's something that's growing. So it's going to be fun to keep in touch with you to find out more about what the iterations are that this goes through. Because it is something that as we embrace technology, all of those various things, we're just going to be using it more and more. Right. But tell us, now's the time to be specific. How do people find you and what are the services that you provide?
Okay. So the best way to find us is to go to our website, which is www.credahealth.com.
And that's with one E, CREDA.
That's right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Health.com. And once you're at the website, you'll be able to read, about what our services are, which basically are a sort of a holistic bunch of things we do for you, starting with education, because we believe that, an educated patient is, or an informed patient is a healthier patient. Right. And so we want to give you warnings. We want to tell you about new clinical trials in your disease space. We want to tell you about drug interactions. Mm-hmm. And we want to remind you to take your medications. Mm-hmm. So the app has that feature as well, built in. You put in, like, I take my meds at 9 o'clock and 5 o'clock. Well, then that's the time your phone will buzz and tell you. Right. So there's that. Mm-hmm. There's also these sort of group settings where we invite you to come in and participate and learn more. There's the one-on-one consults with the specialists. Mm-hmm. And so all of these services are designed to envelop you to the extent you want. I mean, at some point you could say, enough already. I don't need too much more of this. Well, that's fine. You can step back and just have the app do the bare minimum that it does for you, which is to perhaps send you a reminder to take your meds.
Right.
But for those people that want more, then we can give them more. Mm-hmm. So that's one. The second place is if you don't go to the website, if you have your phone already, you just go to the App Store in the case of iPhone, or Google, the Play Store in the case of Google. And literally in their search, if you put in either chronic management app or the name of the company, if you remember that. But if you didn't, you could just put in chronic management app and our app will show up.
Oh. Yeah, great.
As a one that you can download. And so those are probably the two best ways of doing it. Other than just by luck, it might flash across your Facebook page.
It's probably going to show up in my Facebook feed now since I've had it open. And those little things called cookies were doing what they're supposed to be doing, right?
Yes, yes.
So, well, if someone wants to reach you, how do they contact you?
Okay, so my email address is kim.shah@credahealth.com. And I'm happy to give you my phone number too, if you think that's appropriate.
No, we'll stick with email. Okay. So, but yeah, you know, and you know, you're on LinkedIn, you know, all sorts of places. So, you know, it is pretty easy to find you.
Indeed. Yes. Thank you.
Great. Well, you know, this really has been fascinating. Like I said, I come at it from both directions. It's fun just to see a new company and to see, you know, it really is limitless, you know, and to see where it's going to go is going to be so much fun. So I look forward to staying in touch with you, you know, maybe even having you on again. I think that would be fun, especially to say, you know, hey, here's something new that we're doing. We're into phase two, step two, part three, whatever, you know, all those various things. So that would be great. But until then, Kim, do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
I would say, just to put everything together, right? Mm-hmm. Be your own advocate. It's very important, right? I mean, in the pandemic time, we were all holding our breath for 45 seconds to see if we were able to do that. We were doing oxygen breathing. Well, the pandemic isn't the only time you should be worrying about your health, right? I mean, if you have a chronic condition, then I think you have to be your own advocate. You have to, as I think you put it very well earlier, there's no point having a financial advisor and not telling them about half your assets, right? What's the point? It's the same with health. Trust the healthcare system and tell them about everything. It's you never know what's important, what isn't important. And especially for symptoms or conditions that you self-medicate, which may go away, you know, but the fact is that if you were getting sick for a few days a month ago and you took some medication to care of it then, but you didn't tell your doctor about it, well, shame on you, right? Because the doctor is never going to know that you had that episode and what it might have meant. So that would be perhaps my biggest thought is be your own advocate and stay in touch with the healthcare profession.
I love it. Well, such wise words. And it doesn't matter if someone has a chronic condition or, you know, they're pretty healthy people. You know, we doctors are human. They don't read minds. Right. And I think that's so important to make sure that they're always part of the team. And they can't be part of the team if they don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
So I am Deb Creer. I've been having a delightful discussion with Kim Shaw of Creda Health. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.